Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Peter Rosenberg!
From the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
On TV.
It's brought to you by Security Dodge. Go see Michelle Scalesian.
Come get some.
Yeah. I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
Probably gets hard and then just disintegrates.
So, but what did you do?
It's unfortunate.
And good evening to Don.
Don't get mad at me.
And good evening to Joe in Park Slope.
I'm okay with that.
Can I just say one more thing, Peter?
I'm okay with that.
The discussion we're having.
Oh, boy, you sure?
Who does everybody continually refresh their social media to find out what's happening in trade deadlines?
Well, that's new.
Jeff Passan, Joel Sherman, John Heyman,
that's
Ken
news.
Rosenthal. Oh, but they get news from people.
So they must trust
those people.
But they're not molding opinion. They're getting news from them. That's what I just tweeted at because obviously somebody that I respect greatly, Rick Carpinello, tweeted out that he agreed with you. And I'm trying to find my tweet. I don't know why I can't find it. That I tweeted out that unfortunately we're here for news and entertainment. We don't mold minds anymore. That was my point. I mean, obviously Joel Sherman has tons of followers, and they are the people to go to if you want breaking news because they've got their finger on the pulse. But I don't think Joel Sherman is changing anybody's mind or molding influence back in the day. The fans have access to information that they don't need opinions. Our opinion is not going to influence their opinion. They're going to formulate their own opinion.
I think you're devaluing what we do.
No, but
I can shape opinions.
No. Well, not that you hear these people. All they do is they call to argue with us.
Right.
And we argue back and forth.
That probably don't call and say, you know what, that's
because
a good point.
We are here for news and entertainment. We could break some news, and it's entertaining to go back and forth and to disagree. But the days of being up on the mountain saying, this is how you should feel about this player, the fans are too educated now. They've got too much access to watch and formulate their own opinion.
All due respect to the fans, Don, but you are giving a lot of credit out.
Yeah, they're sitting there with the numbers, and they're going to easily formulate their own opinion. You don't think that they're swayed one way or another if somebody they respect says one thing?
No. Well, because I think there was a time where people called, Michael, let me ask you a question. Or Don, what do you think about this? It more like they have their opinion. They want to know if it's the same as theirs, or they want to debate our opinions. They watch the games, they formulate their own opinion.
This so-called educated fan that you're describing, Don, they wouldn't want to get thoughts from someone who's in the locker room every day, who's like, let's say Sherman comes out with a piece saying he's getting the word that Stroman and Judge have a tension. Only very specific people can get that and give you that piece.
And if they like the player, they're going to think Joel's a jerk. And if they hate the player, they're probably hating him anyway.
They don't have an opinion on the player. And that's going to sway them.
I think the reason, why do we always seem to argue with the listener that they always think the media is the evil guy? Because they've already have formulated their opinion on a player, whether they like him or dislike him. And if the media likes him, great. If they don't, they'll go after us for not liking him. They have the ability to formulate their opinion. They might be wrong. I'm not saying that they're even educated. But they decide for themselves because they can watch every game's telecast. They can watch every game. They can get every number, every piece of information. There was back in a day where I'd have to listen to radio or read an article to see what somebody's batting average was with runners in scoring position. Now I can find that stuff out on my own.
You don't think that when you went off on the Evan Neal rant with how strongly you felt about it,
That didn't sway people?
You don't think there are people who heard the Evan Neal quote wouldn't have thought anything much of it? But when they heard you say what you said, came away being like, Don's right. Evan Neal's a jerk. You know what? Can they redo point guard? Because that's a great
point. All right. All I know is I got a lot of people saying thank you because I was able to speak for them because they felt the same way I did, but didn't have the access.
They thought that.
And they liked the fact that somebody agreed with them.
No.
But if they disagreed with me, they would have came at me.
Don, half these people didn't even know what it was yet until you heard it. They think they felt that way originally because you made them feel that way. I mean, I'm sorry. With all due respect, you're taking out... Granted, no one may care what the hell I have to say about anything.
I think
when you say anything, people are affected by it?
I think they'll enjoy it because it was entertaining. And they agree with it or disagree with it
Listen.
I don't know if there was somebody who felt like I didn't have an opinion on him, but now I don't like it. But everybody can come up with their own opinions.
Okay, how about this? We haven't seen throughout this season the MVP conversation with quarterbacks in the NFL, who's hot, who's not, that doesn't get affected by the narrative that major media personalities have?
I listen.
You're with me.
I'm totally, Don's dug in, we're dug in. I believe, the one thing I will bend on, I don't think anybody that's writing now has the influence that Dick Young used to have. You might not even know who Dick Young is.
I don't.
The biggest sports columnist that I can ever remember. He wrote something. He moved the needle.
This is in
When Doc Gooden went into rehab, Dick Young wrote a story they put on the front page, stand up and boo tonight at Shea Stadium. Don't cheer him. And they all stood up and booed.
Right. Those days are over.
Sure.
Those days are way over.
So, yeah, they're over, but you can't say that there's no influence in the media. You can't say it.
So if there's a how often...
You don't think...
How often does a column lead to the back page in the Post?
Every now and then, but not like it used to be. You don't think that Sean Hannity shapes the views of people?
Well, I guess he would say that's different, though, because it's politics.
Well, okay, but you don't think that Jeff Passan saying something on ESPN shapes the views?
No.
Adam Schefter shapes the views.
I think they want those people, and they follow those people for information. But if Adam Schefter tweets out, I think this guy's a jerk, they'll be like, I think he is. No, they're going to go after him because if they agree with him or agree with him and praise him. Like you said, Dan Orlovsky says something about a player. Everybody's already decided who they think their MVP is.
But they're not.
Right. So they'll be like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Or, listen, he agrees with me.
But they're not cardboard boxes, Donna. If Dan Orlovsky said Aaron Rodgers is the worst thing the Jets have ever done, you can't say that that's not infiltrating their hypothalamus. It's going into their mind.
If they're, does it completely inform them maybe the way it used to? Sure, I'd say it doesn't. But I think it still makes an impact. Now, we did hear from Marcus Stroman at the start of the show.
By the way, Josh Hart out tonight, second game of back-to-back with the knee.
Got it. That makes sense. Got themselves a nice win yesterday. Should grab another one today. This is not as you said the other day, stub their toe. Don't stub your toe against the lowly Wizards. Marcus Stroman. How did your deal with the Yankees come about?
Booney came over. Aaron Boone came to my home throughout the process. Had a few calls with some of the guys on the team. A few texts with some guys on the team. But yeah, me and Cashman kind of hashed out whatever it was that we had from a few years ago. We kind of laughed about it and we moved on. He let me know how interested he was in me as a pitcher. Thought that I was someone who would kind of thrive in the lights and the pressure. And I thought it was a perfect fit.
And specifically about Cashman... How did Marcus Stroman and Brian Cashman clear the air?
It was quick, man. It was quick. We literally laughed about it. He let me know his quick little piece about how it didn't necessarily come out is essentially how he wanted it to. He let me know that I was someone who he thought was always going to be a good competitor, someone who could handle the lights, someone who thrived in the pressure. And that was kind of the ultimate draw. You know what I mean? I'm not someone who shies away from the limelight or pressure or the lights. I think a lot of guys would avoid coming to New York and playing for the Yankees because of that reason. And I'm someone who, like I said, I feel like it brings out the best in me. So I'm looking forward to this opportunity. I think Cash is kind of right there in agreement with me as far as he thinks it's going to be a good situation for the both of us. And yeah, I'm just excited. I'm excited. Obviously, I grew up from Long Island. I grew up going to Yankee games, and to be able to put on the pinstripes, that's something we all dream about as kids. So I can't wait.
This, you know, it gets me mad.
What's that?
We have this whole conversation, and I open up my Twitter as I do during the show, and shouldn't because it's filled with morons. And one of those morons, Bob, writes, "Well, Michael, today's an epiphany. Now you know you can't retire at all because Don and Peter haven't got a clue. Sherman is a god in the sports world, and people take their cues from him."
But, well, I'm not planning to retire.
I understand that, but the only point I'm pointing out is I've been arguing the whole time with you against Don.
Yeah, but you know what? The opinion of you is that they don't like you. So somebody has made that opinion.
So it almost speaks to Don's point. He almost helped make Don's point because his point is already made on me. Even when I'm giving him information, sitting here saying...
Well, you know what? He probably got that information from Andrew Marchand writing Sidekick or something like that.
And now, Marchand influenced him.
Right, and Marchand hates you. And has said he sure hates does. You. So those people influence some people.
Oh, boy. That's tough. That's really, really tough.
Is this Bob? That's all we had is Bob. His name is just Bob.
Bob Krantz.
Oh, he's a big listener to the show.
Bobby. He's got, if you're wondering, if this kind of thing matters to you.
Right.
His profile picture is just the Jets. It's just Jet stuff. And his biography is, I love the Jets. And he's currently followed by 5 people.
I love Bob. I'm one of the people following him.
Really?
Yep.
That's just simply not true what you just said. And that's the part that it's upsetting.
You do you, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob!
Was that just me or the drop at the same time?
Both.
Wow, really?
Drop at the same time.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Mike Tomlin spoke on the whole leaving the press conference thing.
Does he acquit himself well?
Let's hear from Coach Tomlin.
In a little better mood today, man. Anybody got any contract questions? I'll say this. I certainly could have handled that situation better than I did. But I'll also say this. I just believe there's a time and place for everything. And post-game press conferences are probably not the place to address contract issues and things of that nature. It's just a very individual thing. And on game day, I doubt any of us are in that mindset. Certainly I am not. What's required to do what it is that we do, the amount of focus pouring into a collective, I'm just not in that mind state, and I just don't believe that's the appropriate venue to talk about things of that nature.
Well, how about you say that, Mike, instead of storming off like a child? How about saying this is not the appropriate time to be talking about my future and my contract? It's a much better look than spinning and turning on your heels and walking out. Mike Tomlin's a really smart guy. He's got a television career ahead of him when he decides to step away.
And people get emotional, man. I guess the reason I'm cutting him some slack, besides the fact that I like Tomlin, it was disrespectful. But I'm much more understanding of that version of disrespectful as opposed to being nasty to people's faces the way other great coaches who we idolize are.
It's kind of nasty to walk off in the middle of somebody's sentence.
It's nasty. But
it's disrespectful.
But I'd rather you just walk out because you don't like it than be directly nasty to my face. Just me.
Nasty is nasty. It's another form of nasty.
Again, it's just like how I feel about the first down point.
Right.
Not all created equal. You know what I mean? Nasty is different. Janet Jackson nasty is not the same as vanity.
It's not the level of nasty. I know you're like coaches that would a dumb question.
Yep.
But then there's a way to handle it. Like, did you see Todd Bowles? There was this woman who was...
But he was a gentleman.
But that's what you're supposed to be.
He also just won. You know what I mean? You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Where'd you put that for? Oh, here it is. This is, by the way... This is not what you want out of a question in a presser. Todd Bowles, whose Bucks are going to play Detroit.
And I don't believe this is after a game. This is the next day.
Yeah. It's what I'm saying is it's during the week and it's after a win when they're on their way to go do something fun. Here's Todd Bowles being asked about going to play at Detroit indoors at Ford Field.
Looking forward towards Detroit. The weather has been a factor in some of the playoff games, even for the most prepared teams. Today, it's 13 in Detroit, which doesn't compare to some of the temperatures we tend to go to. Any special plans to acclimate the team to not only endure, but perform in those kind of frigid temperatures should you face them in Detroit?
You do know we play indoors, right? And they got a dome. No, nothing planned. We're indoors. We only have to be outside for 20 seconds getting off the bus going under the thing, so...
Well, we had him on. He's a gentleman.
You remember this?
Somebody would say, oh, you an idiot. Now, one thing.
That is.
The one thing is, the rumor she worked for a local news department that has trimmed everybody, and they sent her blind. She's a news reporter to a sports... Now, I don't cut her any slack. You have to know the game's indoors. But that is the reason. She's not a sports reporter. It would be like if Bruce Beck asked that. He would never ask that.
The shame of it is it sounded like she was well-prepared.
She tried to...
Because she went back, looked at the other games, well, you and said what their she was temperatures what,
she
were.
She was what kind of reporter?
She's a news reporter for a news station that had cut off its whole sports department. So they just sent a news reporter out there and said, cover this. And she
tried to ask
didn't
a question.
Know, right. She's not from Detroit. She was probably from Tampa Bay. And she didn't know that Detroit played indoors.
That's a tough spot. Because, again, she seemed like she was well-informed except for the most important part, that they play in a dome, which would make sense if she wasn't a sports
But
person.
He's such a sweet guy. The way he is. I'm telling you right now, what percentage of NFL coaches would not have been that kind about it? 70%?
Yeah.
Something snarky.
But isn't it nice to be a good guy?
Do we have Gladys on the show?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Oh, we used to produce the heck out of the show.
Well, wait a minute. We still do.
The way he leveled that insult. I hope Anthony's laughing over there because that was pretty good. We used to produce the heck out of the show. But how did that happen?
Was that Andrew?
It was an Andrew time, but how? But
he got a hold of Gladys Knight.
Come on. There wasn't a reason that we had her on for some reason.
Because he had said on a previous show that he loved Chips Ahoy, and we got him Chips Ahoy.
Right.
And that he loved Gladys Knight. Like he would have a hard time with if he ever spoke with Gladys Knight. And Andrew produced the heck out of the show and got Gladys. Didn't get the Pips, just got Gladys.
So what do we know about Robert Saleh? Here's all we know. He clearly loves sex because the man has tons of children.
Could have just had it seven times. You don't know that.
That's a great
point.
He could
be a strict procreation guy.
Strict could be.
There's people that Don believes that about.
I know. With all my heart.
Yeah. But can I just say that? I don't think this is bad to say. Don has a description of human beings that he will decide based on the way they act,
right,
that they are a strict procreation person.
Right.
Meaning, if anyone's wondering, they don't have interest in sex. They simply, if they have children, it was just for those children.
That's right.
And that is
right. And then they shut it down.
I love that. So just if anyone wants to add stuff to their lexicon, I know people enjoy things that we say on the show. Off the air, one of the things that is said is
strict procreation.
Right.
And then Peter cuts it down to strict procreation.
Exactly.
Right. And then you know what? I have zero influence because you guys refuse to believe it.
Now, but who, what could, if you want to put the pressure on Pusick, which is the name of my 13th album.
Pressure on Pusick.
What could he get to spice up the Saleh hits, assuming we have them again? What do we know about Saleh?
Nothing.
I
don't know. Golfing with him, I guess. Get Joe Benigno on.
We should get Benigno.
Yeah, do you want to get Benigno? Actually, you know what? That would create an interesting moment now.
Yeah, that was a good choice by Robert.
But we did eventually get something out of Coach Bowles. Took time, but we got there. Do you guys find yourself rooting for him?
Yes.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
I
like him a lot.
He's
a good man.
Would you enjoy? Now, Don, we love Detroit. We're in on Detroit. Would you take some satisfaction, though, in seeing Bowles kind of shock the world and go win the second playoff
game? Absolutely.
No, I want Detroit to win, and I think Jared Goff's gone through a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Although his girlfriend is just gorgeous.
How much has he gone through? He went to a Super Bowl.
His girlfriend is just unbelievable.
You haven't seen Jared Goff's girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. Remember the whole thing on the beach when they won their first game?
Oh, I remember it. I never stopped thinking
about it. It's a screensaver.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it right now. Hold on.
So they still haven't married?
No. They're engaged, I believe.
Okay, he's still...
I don't see that as being a strict procreation guy.
You would hope not. Or it seems like a waste, but...
Yeah, I don't see A.C. Green and Jared Goff.
No, I'm not getting that vibe from. But I will say, Todd Bowles goes and wins a second playoff game.
He might not lose his job.
Wait, you think there's a chance he could lose his job?
If he had lost the first game, I think he would have lost his job.
I don't know. Only because maybe they would try to go after some of the guys that are available.
Say, only because of the big names available.
Would it be great if they got Belichick after Brady?
And win again.
Some things right themselves.
Now, here's my question. Mm-hmm. While we're going down fantasy road, they go out and get Belichick.
Right.
Belichick comes in and says, you know, and everyone says to Bowles, this has nothing to do with you. It's just Belichick's available.
Right.
We want to keep you around as defensive coordinator.
Probably say no. He could be defensive coordinator anywhere. He's thought as a great defensive coordinator. Why would you take a back seat?
Now let's take Belichick out of the situation.
Belichick,
yeah,
okay.
Belichick. If you take Blil out of the situation, Bowles wins another game, gets to an NFC Championship game.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's locked himself up for a couple of years in Tampa? That's a big run
for a
team that no one has talked about this team,
and they. $80 million over the cap. They signed a quarterback for a pittance. He was released, essentially, by Carolina last year, and he's turned him into... And he's a defensive guy. But the team plays hard. They play well.
And can you add a little side note on top of how great we already think Shanahan is? That McVay is? That McVay got Mayfield in L.A. for like four games.
Fixed him.
And did enough to polish him up.
Yeah, he almost won that first game. Remember, they signed him on a Tuesday.
Yes.
And I think they were playing on a Thursday.
And it was like an incredible performance.
Yeah, they almost lost, won. But he actually played well.
And polishes him up. Now he gets the job there. And he's going to get paid this offseason.
Yeah, he should.
What do you think he gets?
Well, he's got to get at least 20 a year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He might be close to 30.
30?
Yeah. God, what a crazy life.
He's never going to have to live in a stadium again, ever.
I'm so happy.
There's no evidence he lives at, was it Raymond James Stadium?
Yeah, I think it's the pirate ship. He lives
then why are we missing this opportunity of showing it on television? It shows you the impact that advertising had. I can't think of who did the advertising.
Was it Progressive, I think?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But why didn't they continue it in Tampa?
They had NFL Live on from Raymond James Stadium before that game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this. And they always practiced the cannon shots from the pirate ship. And Marcus Spears was talking. And they shoot off like five cannon shots. And he looked petrified.
It's loud.
No, he thought that there was some kind of attack. And Laura Rutledge said, no, that's the pirate ship.
I don't know if you can find
it. It was scary.
They have a cannon in Columbus. And one time I called the goal. And Pete Stemkowski is taught, and then they fire off, and his reaction was like tremendous. See if you can find it in the system. It's worth listening to.
You have to see Marcus's face. I don't blame him, because I was watching it live, and I said, oh, what's going on?
But
you know, in this day and age, you just have no idea. Happening.
Now, let's hear from our guy, Dan Campbell. He's the guy across the field from...
They call him Soup.
Soup is going to be across the field from...
Whatever happened to...
I think he retired.
From Todd Bowles. Here's Dan Campbell speaking on the Lions not getting ahead of themselves.
You know, I'm so much into the mode now, and I want us thinking it's the next one. We got three left, and we got to go get this one right now. Let's do everything we can to put a good game plan together of these guys where they can digest, be ready to go, good practice, and let's go get this one. Man, then we got to gear up for the next one. So I think it's very much business as usual. You know, I think it's too early to start getting there. I think that's where you got to be careful. You get complacent. I think that's great for everybody to feel good and love where we're at, but for us, we can't. We got to just stay on the track. Here.
So long, everyone. That's ENN brought to you by Security Dodge. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com during their Starting Something New sales event.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.